So the concept to us, the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really only exists for a person who has an interest in perceiving the ultimate reality. That means that man by nature has to have that concern and that interest. If a person has no interest in that, so then it's impossible for him to have any relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an impossibility. That is the differentiation between Adam and between a Behema, or between the instinctual part of man and between the part of man which is a Tzelem or a Tzelem. A person begins with the instinctual, but he sees that things work according to Chachma. When he sees that things work according to Chachma, it opens up a different reality for him. He sees it's not just simply. See, the difference, let me explain something. The difference between the difference between a Rasha and between a Tzaddik, the Rasha also perceives that there's Chachma. But to the Rasha, when he discovers Chachma, the discovery of Chachma just means one thing. A practical way of implementing his desires. So that's what the Rambam says, that Ruri Avera Kashim Avera. So the Rasha uses the gift of the Tzelem Elokim, which really opens up and demonstrates to man that there's a whole other world of reality. And he uses it simply for the purpose of, he subordinates it for the purpose of his instinctual. Whereas the Tzaddik, when he sees the world of Chachma opens up a whole different reality. He starts off from the instinctual, but once he sees the world of Chachma, it opens up an entirely different reality. Once he perceives that reality, his concern naturally leads him to the source of reality, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference between the Rasha and between the Tzaddik is that the Rasha remains rooted in the instinctual, and the Chachma only becomes a servant for his desires, his physical desires. Whereas the Tzaddik, when he perceives the Chachma, what happens is that he perceives a whole different world of reality, and he is concerned and interested and desires to reach forth to the source of the reality, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's basically the difference. And that's why this Mishnah defines for us what the nature of reality is, and in terms of the role that man plays in the group. That's why the Torah tells us about Torah Mamaras Nivrola. The import of human existence is tied with the whole purpose of reality, which stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Yes, the last question we left with last time was, we say the Rambam seems to contradict himself, because the Rambam says in one place, he says that you can't ask a question about the purpose of what God's purpose was in creation. He says such a question you can't ask, because the question is absurd. You can't ask anything about, you can't ask why God does something. It's an absurd idea, because it's an end of itself. So what's the purpose of that, and what's the purpose of that? So eventually you have to say that it's simply that God's essence is that he created, that he could, the universe reflects God's essence, that he creates. That God creates, that's God's nature, so to speak. I mean, you can't use those terms. I'm just saying, this can give you some idea. All right? Now, the question is, the Rambam says, in a further chapter, the Rambam says that one of the yesodos that God just believes in is that there's nothing purposeless in God's action. So this seems to be a contradiction, because on the one hand he says that you can't question what's the purpose of God doing something, which would seem to be, he says, that question is completely absurd. So you can't ask what the purpose of God's action is. On the other hand, he says that you can't say, one cannot say that God's anything in God's works are purposeless. But according to the Rambam, it has to be purposeless, because you can't ask, the idea of a purpose doesn't apply to God. So wouldn't that ipso facto mean that that it's purposeless? All right? That was the question we were made. We left the question. All right?
And,
the answer is like this. The answer is that the word purpose has two meanings. When we say a person has a purpose in doing something, so it's a human term. The idea of a purpose could even mean that a person does A because he wants B. So A is a forerunner of B. You must have A in order to have B. That's one concept of purpose. Another concept of purpose is that a person does something because of its essential nature. Like, for instance, a person works in order to earn money. Why does he earn money? In order to be able to gain pleasure. But now the gaining of pleasure to the average person is the end purpose of all his activities. So therefore you can't ask any question as to why he wants to gain pleasure. That's an essential thing for the person. Correct? So you can't say it has a purpose in the first sense of the word, that it's serving another purpose. But you can't say it's purposeless, because it has intrinsic value. It has intrinsic value. Do you understand what I mean? That's why basically we say what really, and that is the highest of all activities. That's why we say that the only activity really that's a true activity is one for which all activities finally are done. And that's why we say that there's only one activity which is essential to man, and that is Lima Torah. Because according to man's nature, everything that he does, even the attaining of pleasure, is only a means to place him in a certain frame of mind so that he could learn. So the end activity of all his activities is really knowledge. That's what man was created for, to perceive Chochmas Hashem. Chochmas Hashem is the end objective. So there is no purpose. You can't ask what is the purpose in study, in learning. Learning has no purpose. That is the purpose. That is the ultimate purpose. That's why the term purpose has two meanings. So it's not a contradiction in the Rambam. And the Rambam says that you can't ask what is the purpose. For what purpose did God create the universe? And the Rambam says you can't ask that question. It's absurd. You can't ask the question for what purpose in relationship to God. Because then you're going to say, well, it was for this purpose. And what's the purpose of that? So eventually you're going to have to say, there is no purpose. But when the Rambam says there is no purpose, he only means there is no purpose in the sense of one thing being a forerunner or a necessary stage for another thing. That concept you can't say in relationship to God. But to say that God's works are purposeless would mean that there is no second purpose either, which means that the actions of God are not intrinsic. So the Rambam says that the only answer to why God created, why God created the universe, the only answer is an intrinsic answer. You understand what I mean? It was an intrinsic action on the part of God. It has an intrinsic purpose, not a purpose to serve. Its purpose is not to serve something else. It has an intrinsic purpose. Just like for us, in the Torah, we sit and we learn Torah for what purpose? There is no purpose. That doesn't serve any other meaning. If you learn the Torah because you want to chel in olam haba, or for any other reason, that's not really the highest level of learning Torah. That's lo lishma. But the ultimate level of learning Torah is because this is our nature. This is what we are. This is what now we're in line with our own existence. So the learning of Torah really has no purpose. There's no purpose. It doesn't serve any other purpose. But it has intrinsic purpose, intrinsic value. That's what the Rambam means. That's the answer to the question. But the Rambam says you can't ask why God created the universe. He means to say you can't ask what purpose does it serve. To say that God's works are purposeless would mean that it has no purpose whatsoever. That's against Kol HaTorah Kula. And therefore you cannot find, that's why the Rambam says you cannot find anything in existence that is useful. There's no such thing as something being in existence as useful. Because since God's nature, God's essence is Chachma, His essence is Chachma, everything that's created has to reflect that Chachma. And there can't be anything in the universe that does not fit into the frame of Chachma Hashem. Cannot be such a thing. To maintain such a thing when it's against the very essence of the other. Okay? We can't see the purpose for a simple reason, because we are created beings and the Creator is inconceivable to a being that is created by Him by the very fact that He is a created being. You understand what I mean? Simply because of the fact that we are created, which means that we are within we exist in a certain realm of God's action. So by definition, we can't possibly perceive the Creator. An impossibility.
But when you say you can't see the purpose,
In other words, if you would want to understand the purpose of the creation, what you're asking is you want to understand God's essence. It's the same thing. It's the same exact question. Which is impossible for man to conceive of. It's impossible. It's an inherent impossibility. You understand? It's the same question. So what is the purpose of the creation of the universe? The creation of the universe took place because of God's essence. So you want to understand what God's essence is. That's Kilei Rani Adam L'Choi. It's an impossibility. If a person learns Torah because he has a need, that certainly is praiseworthy, and it certainly is a very high level. But it is not the highest level. The highest level is where a person's learning of Torah takes place automatically. It's an automatic process. He's automatically involved in the world of Chokhmah. That's his nature. That's like Adam Rishon Kodem Hachet. Okay? He was just complete. Not a need. That's his nature. It's not that he's doing it for a need. That is an expression of the nature of his existence. You understand what I'm saying? If a person just enjoys the Shaka Vataya and the Gemara, it's certainly a high level because he enjoys the enjoyments of the mind of Chachma are certainly higher than the enjoyments of the physical without a doubt. I mean, the difference is immeasurable. But nevertheless, he still is not in line with Hakaras Hashem because he enjoys, for instance, if a person will enjoy playing chess. The person who enjoys playing chess, would you say that he really is a chacham? No. He's a person who enjoys using his mind, yes. He enjoys using his mental apparatus. But that is not really the highest level. Because he's not concerned about reality, because he's not going to learn anything more about reality after playing chess for 20 years than he did after playing chess for 1 month. There's no more ideas. So it means this person's not concerned with reality. So in the same manner, even if a person should enjoy a Shakla Vatara and a Gemara, if the Shakla Vatara and the Gemara is not a reflection of God's Chokhmah, it doesn't bring them closer to ultimate reality, then he's not on the really high level of existence, not the highest level of existence of perceiving Chokhmah Hashem. You understand what I'm saying? Alright? That's why they say, I read this book on Rabbi. Rabbi used to, was a scientist. So he perceived Chokhmah Hashem in the universe. He saw it. He appreciated it. So when one of his students would tell him a certain project that they were going into, so he used to ask him, he used to say, will this bring you closer to God? He said, and he wasn't a religious person, but he didn't have a true idea of Yahweh, so he didn't understand Yahweh. No concept. But that's the question he would ask. That is a level of Adam. That means that he recognized that just to be involved in experimentation and science is not the purpose. But to see a glimpse of Chokhmah Hashem, that's the objective. That's the objective. So the same thing, it means to say that man is only perfected insofar as he has a curiosity. The word curiosity is not the most accurate word. But insofar as he has a striving and a desire to understand reality. Reality means that part of man that part in man which uncovers things through his Selam Olachim. If he's aware, people are not even aware of it. Means a person can see Chachmah, and again, like I mentioned before, he uses it simply as a tool to attain his goals. But if he doesn't see in Chachmah that there's another world, that's reality over here. That's what Chachmah shows him. And that now he has a desire to be in touch with that reality and to perceive that reality and to trace it and to understand it, then if he doesn't have that desire, then he's unrelated to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? That's really what that's the concept of the notion. So the Pasuk says, Oma novo belibo ein elokim. What does it mean, Oma novo belibo ein elokim? Novo means a lowly person. A lowly person says there's no God. So David Malchus is explaining to you why a person is an atheist. What does he mean to say? What he means to say is a novel can't perceive God because a novel is a low person. Novel means a person that's tied to the physical, to the instinctual. So he can't perceive God because he's not even concerned about the reality. He has no concern about the reality that is behind all the physical things that he sees. So he's a novel. So to him, ain't no akin. What is it? The existence of God plays no role. There's no... It's unimportant, completely unimportant to him. You understand what I'm saying? He can't be related to God. That's what the pasuk means. Oma novo belibo ein elokim. Who denies God? A person who has no concern about ultimate reality denies God. It is within man's nature to be concerned about ultimate reality. If he's not, then it means there's something wrong with him. There's distortion in his personality. Distortion in his personality. So this Mishnah, this, the framework of this Mishnah, is that perception of ultimate reality. That's all my moral things are all wrong. The person has to be concerned about ultimate reality. If he's not concerned about it, he's distorted personality. He can't have any relationship to God. So if you do not care about the source of the universe, not concerned, you have no desire to in any way make contact with the source of the universe, then you have no relationship to God, basically. You could be a good Jew in terms of Shema Torah Mitzvah, but you're not a, you aren't Mekayim the Mitzvah of Avat Hashem. I mean, that's a different level. I mean, I'm not saying the person doesn't have any children on a ball, and he's not on, on a level. He's still on a very high level, but it's not the ultimate level, okay? Not the ultimate level. The ultimate level is the she'ifa, the desire, and the striving towards the source of all reality, which basically stems from man's recognition of the fact that there is a different kind of reality that underlines all the physical phenomena that a person sees. Okay? Exactly. It's what I meant before was, the study of Torah has no purpose. It's not done as a means. That's exactly. That's why the only true person is a person that studies Torah. Because the only one involved in activity is not done as a means. Anything that's done as a means is a servant to something else. So most people are involved all their lives in slave activity. The only person that's not involved in slave activity is the person that's involved in the ultimate activity of man. So it means anything else he's doing is a means. He's involved in acting as a slave. Lo lam yasek adam tar mitzvah fila shalo lishma. Because mitoch shalo lishma bo lishma. There has to be a bridge to get there. The bridge is lo lishma. A dilemma. That was a dilemma that was, that a few centuries ago was a big issue. The dilemma was, that how is it possible for a person to learn a piece of Gemara that he's Zikin, and he's learning about Shor, Shinoga, Chasaporo, you know, an ox gores a cow, and he's learning about a person in court where a guy, one guy says, you owe me $100, he says, no, I owe you 50, and he has to swear, and then amigo, he could have said this, he could have said that. These are all, legal questions. What does this have to do with Yadis, with the Vekas Bashan? That was the question. That was the question that was raised. So therefore, at that time, the Hasidim came out with the idea that it's not good to learn these, not good to really spend time learning. There's even extant in some of the writings today. I mean, whether who those writings are attributed to is not definite. But they're around, I've seen them. And the writings say that a person who learns Gemara should just skim through quickly and should every few minutes should stop and should think about Vekas Bakar's Bach. Okay? And that's why Rav Chaim Volozhin wrote the Nefesh HaChaim directly against that. He said that this is nonsense, and that the Vekas, the idea of Vekas Bashem has nothing to do, there's nothing to do with the idea of stopping your learning and thinking about God. You're learning your Gemara and the Pesach, you're understanding an area, you have to use your intellect and your Chachmah. But they couldn't understand how that relates man to God. How does it? You're talking about a kafir, a person who's denying something in court, and he's a liar, and the Gemara is going through all the possible lies that this guy could conceivably make, conceivably state. What does that do with the God? Nothing. Mundane type of involvement. A lawyer involves himself in this kind of thing. But the... But the answer is no, the answer is the contrary. The answer is that the purpose is to see Chochmah, to be involved in Chochmah, when a person is involved in Chochmah, in any area that is involved in Chochmah, that he pursues Chochmah Hashem, then that is the level of, that is the Dveikus Hashem. The Dveikus Hashem is pursuing Chochmah Hashem. If a person goes through a sigma, runs through a sigma, the sigma is dealing with seemingly non-religious areas, but that's our religion. Our religion is not emotional fervor. Our religion is chachma Hashem. A person goes through a migo, what a person could have said, and a person goes through what the possibilities are, and he sees the way the sigil works out, how the sigil is worked out according to God's chachma. This is the highest Vekas Hashem. This is Vekas Hashem. There is nothing higher. That is the Vekas Hashem, seeing God's Chachmah. Now let's go a little further. Now the question The let's take next maimar. Asura Doros may Odom Vad Noach. So there's 10 generations from Adam till Noah. Lo dia kama erech apayim lachana. To show you how God is forbearing. Shekola doro soya machisinu boin at shehevi aleim asnei amabo. But all the doros angered God because they didn't live in accordance with his ways. Until he brought the marble upon them, so it took 10 doros. All right, that's what that's basically the statement of the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says that why do you have all these doros from Adam to Noah? To teach you God's erech apayim, how God is an erech apayim. So you see that even though there were so many doros, until he brought the marble, it took a while. It took 10 generations. Okay. And says Elo Adora Saint Divrei Torah Ploni Holy Ploni Ala Seda. All those psukim in the Torah that what they call the begat. So the right. The Zohar Zeh Masha Achor Bnei Zichro Asara Mamoros Shebehen Musul Adam Lazarizasa. So the Rambam's bother. Why did the Mishnah bring this down? Who cares? What does that have to do with the Ovos? Asara Doros Me Adam Vadnoach. What does that have to do with Ovos? So he says he brought this down because he mentioned the Asura Mamoros. Shebahem Musa La'odam Lazarezaso, Lasaki Nafsha, Bamilos Hamidos, and Milos Asichlios, Shezel Kavanazos Masakta. So he says, since he mentioned Asura Mamoros, to show you what the purpose of man's activities are in the frame of the universe, to show what role man plays in terms of reality, so he mentioned that, so that's why he mentioned Asura Doros. I mean, what does that mean? Because it's the same word Asura. What are Asaras? What's the difference? Right? And just because, does he mean because it's a continuation, because it started off with the Mamaras and now he does with the Doros, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. What is the Rambam saying over there? Because he said the first one, so now he mentions the second one. So the second one has nothing to do with human perfection and it doesn't belong to the Masechta. But he's only here because he had Asaras, so he said already this one. That sounds very strange, this kind of an answer. Now, this one, what does it mean when we say that God is an Erech HaPayim? That God is an Erech HaPayim. God's an Erech HaPayim. So, same thing again. It's a Asura Doros Minoch Vavron. Similar thing. Lodiyah Kam Erech HaPayim Lepon. So, the concept of Erech HaPayim, see, that's what I mentioned before. The idea of a Hamonim, that's why it's so important for the Rambam, why he begins the Sefer with the concept of a Hamonim. And the Rambam says, when he talks about in the Amar Nevuchim, when he talks about the Hamanim, so he says that the only thing in common between the only thing in common between this idea and the idea that we think of and the idea that's applied to God is the term. If you ever read through the Amar, he mentions that a few times. He says that's why it's a Hamanim. Now, what does that mean? The only thing. So what's the purpose of it? So it seems to be useless. I think, in other words, the Rambam says, when it says, for instance, when it talks about God, so the only, you use a term in reference to God. Like God came down to see the Migdal. So he says the only thing in common between the idea that God came down and the idea of came down and what the Torah is really representing is only the words. So if it's only the words, then it's nothing. What does the Rambam mean? It's a very funny thing. Rambam mentions that in the Mara many times. The only thing in common is the word. The only thing in common is the word, so it's meaningless. So what's the purpose? So I think the Rambam is like this: that the Rambam starts off the Mara Nevuchim with the Hamonim because he wants to show you an important thing. The important thing is like this: so when we say, for instance, any term that we use has to be a term which is in human terms. It has to be in human terms. Now, the moment it's in human terms, already it's defective. You can't use it in application to God. I'll give you an example. We say that God has concern about man. God has concern. God has concern for man. God has concern for man. He's concerned about man. So, what does it mean? What kind of a concept is that? God is concerned about man. Can we say that God is concerned about man? But our idea of concern is a human idea. It's we have a certain feeling. We're concerned about somebody. It's because that person is related to us, and so we have a certain psychological investment. And so far as that individual is existence, as far as that individual's existence, so therefore we're concerned about it. Can we say that about God? I mean, it's absurd. The idea is absurd. So then I'll ask you, so then should we say that God is not concerned about man? That God is not concerned about man? Can you say that? And the answer is no. We can't say that. We can't make that statement either. But not concerned to us means that there is no relationship whatsoever. That's what it means. Because when we're not concerned about somebody, it means we don't care what happens to that guy. We don't care what happens to that person. So we cannot say when we speak about, is God concerned about man, we cannot say that he is concerned about man, and yet we cannot say that he's not concerned about man. We find ourselves in a very difficult predicament. But that seems to be an important point. I mean, whether God is concerned about man or not is, of course, I mean, the Yisod of the Torah, Shechar Onesh, on the Yisodos. So what is the answer? That's what the Rambam tries to explain. That's why the Rambam goes through the homonyms in the beginning. He explains it like this, that we can only grasp, you see, we can only grasp certain results insofar as God is concerned. Human mind can only grasp certain results. Can we say that God is concerned about man? The answer is yes. With one provision, that what we mean by concern is more of a negation of lack of concern. Okay? In other words, when we say God is concerned about man, that's why the Rambam says that our knowledge of God is negative knowledge. Negative knowledge. What does it mean? It means like this. And we can't say God is concerned about man, because that would imply that he really has feelings. He's like we're concerned. That's basically nonsensical. It's clear, actually. Reducing God to man. It's nonsensical. It's a vodazar. It's a vodazar. I remember one time I heard a rav. He meant well, but he gave a speech. He says, why should we serve God? So he says, look, if somebody loves you very much, so you would do anything for that person. Okay? So he tried to tell the crowd that God loves us, and no one could love us like God, and therefore we have to do anything for him. Okay? Now this idea is a faulty idea on two counts. First of all, because what moves a person when he thinks that somebody loves him is a certain emotional aspect to that love. He feels that this person is very emotionally concerned about him, and that moves him emotionally in turn. You see? You cannot say that God loves us in that sense. That's also interesting. That idea is anthropomorphic. It doesn't exist, not sure. Yet we say, Ava Solom Aftan Abashon Alakena. We say, Ava Solom Aftan Abashon Alakena. Ava Rabba Aftan. So the idea of God's love is a totally different concept. It's a totally different concept. It's wrong, that's why it's wrong to say that, to use that as motivation on two counts. First of all, it's wrong, as I said, because it's not an accurate description. And secondly, it's wrong because if somebody loves you, you feel an obligation to repay him. Exactly. And with relationship to God, that's impossible. That's impossible. Again, it's nonsensical. So you see that an idea which is used many times to promote, you have to be very careful, because an idea can be used, the purpose of the Agus is not simply to promote religious activity. Not the purpose. If that was the purpose, Yadis would be the greatest religion in terms of proportion and size. The reason why we're so small is because Yadis has never made any concessions. And Yadis is never compromised in any way with reality. The Navi always set things straight, and the people didn't listen to the Navi because it wasn't emotionally very satisfying, exactly. So when we say, because we can't distort the idea of the Borei Olam. That to Yadis is the worst possible crime that a person can commit. That's why the Rambam reprimands people who try to be apologetics, who try to answer Yadis and explain it in a way that's appealing to people. So again, when we say that God has concern for man, there's nothing, that's what the Rambam says, there's nothing in common with that word concern other than the term. It means essentially there's nothing in common with God's concern and man's concern. There's nothing to do with it. It's a totally different phenomenon. The only thing we can say is that it is wrong, it is incorrect to say that God has no concern for man. That we can't say. We can't say such a thing. Because that would mean that God is unrelated to man. And that's not true. Is he related to man? Yes, he's related to man. But is he concerned? Now, the reason why he begins his book with homonyms is because if you don't have that idea, you can't move anywhere philosophically. Because everything you're doing is going to be in human terms. In human terms, there's no way that you could describe or approach any kind of description of the Creator in human terms. It's impossible. So that's why the Rambam spent so much time in the beginning of the Morah to explain this concept to people. That any term that's used, you see, in relationship to God is essentially unrelated. So we only could know God in terms of the effects. In other words, concern has a certain effect. If you're concerned about somebody, so then that means that your existence will benefit him in some way. That we could say. Yes, that we could say. In terms of effects. In terms of avas olam ha'tonu, what does it mean? God loves us. Yeah, but not like a human being loves somebody. But it means to say the effects. The effect of Ava is, what are the effects of Ava? If a person loves you, he's your benefactor. God is our greatest benefactor. In that sense, he is Avas, in that sense, is Avas Olam Ha'atana, you see. But not in any way can we describe him in any way in terms of the idea of love that we as human beings have, that's simply a human phenomena. And no human phenomena can be used in describing God. And that, I want you to know, is the essence of Yadus. The essence of Yadus. That is the one of the essence of Yadus. Every other religion works in the opposite way, which means what they do is, and their enticements to follow their religion, if you think about it, you hear it in the streets all the time, their enticements to follow their religion are based precisely on that. What they try to do is, they try to take a human emotion and project it onto a God, and then try to move the person because of that emotion. And that's what they try to do. That's their method. And it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki chol Elohei ha'amin elulim v'adoshem shamayim asa. V'adoshem shamayim asa. What does the pasuk mean? It means, of necessity, all the gods of the Amin, of the other nations, are Elulim. Elulim, what does Elulim mean? It means that they're nothing. It means just they're idols. Why? It has to be that way. Because any god of the other nations, how did that god come into existence? Through the imagination of the people. You see? Through the imagination of the people. So therefore, the only thing that this god could be is simply a projection of their own emotions onto reality. A projection onto reality of their own emotions. So it has to be a leader. Vadoshem Shamayim Asak means our God is the source of the universe. The source of reality. See? That's the difference. And that's why of necessity there can only be one Akas Hashem. And that's Akas Hashem for the Torah. Otherwise it's a leader. Otherwise, it must be a leader. This is a yesod of Yadus, and this differentiates Yadus from any other kind of religion of necessity. And that's why the only reason that the Jews accepted Torah was only why? Because of Matan Torah. What does the pasuk say? Batziach ha'asam in Mitzrayim tavdun es alokim alahar hazeh. Only because of Maimon HaSinai. Because Maimon HaSinai was something that they saw and they had to accept that this is a reality. There never was a taina of any type that the Jews should believe in God just to believe, because that would be Avodah Zarah, the same source of Avodah Zarah. But the only reason why Yahadus demands that man accept God in the Torah is because he's seen it as a reality. It's a reality. And if he denies it, he denies reality. But our God is the source of reality, not a human projection. That's the difference. That's why only Yahadus, only a person who comes to recognition of God through Yahadus, which means through the facts of Yahadus, which is through Maamar HaSinai, and through the Masorah, and through the knowledge of Torah. Only that's the kind of a God, that's the only God that's the real God. The others have to be Elohim. There's no other possibility. So now, that's the concept, that's the concept of Erech HaPayim. What does it mean, Lord Diya Kama Erech HaPayim? What does it mean that God is an Erech HaPayim? So God waits. It means to say, to give you an idea that God's Erech HaPayim has nothing to do with our concept of Erech HaPayim. Okay. What is the Torah telling us? The Torah is telling us that the Erech HaPayim cannot be viewed in any kind of an emotional framework. You can't. Yeah. It's not human patience. Can a person wait 10 generations? I mean, it's absurd. A person doesn't have. The whole idea is doesn't apply to a person. You see? The Erech HaPayim of God is on a different plane. We can't conceive. The only thing in common, like the Rambam says, is the term Erech HaPayim. We could use the same term, because human beings also, sometimes a person does an injustice to another human being, and the person says, okay, he's long-suffering, he says, all right, I won't get back at him now. I'll wait a while. So there is in the human sphere, there is some kind of an idea that we could use if we speak of the effect, it's an application to God. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Now, what is the Asara Doros? Lo dia kamo erech apayim lefonot. Shechola Doros hayim machisim uvon achehevi alayim esmei amabal. It means to say that God's erech apayim is of a different nature. It's important for us to know that this concept of erech apayim stems from a different source than we, as human beings, conceive of erech apayim. It's a different source. It has a form to it. You see, but it was 10 generations. It has a form. There's a zman. It works, like you might say, similar in the sense that there's a time there, but essentially it is not to be equated with the concept of a person being patient. You see, human patience. That's the purpose. That's why the Torah starts off with the Doros. That's why the Torah starts off with the Doros. Yes. So what is the Medrash saying basically? What is the Mishnah saying? So what's the purpose? I asked before the question was, so what is the purpose? So what is the purpose? What is the Mishnah teaching us? What is the purpose of telling us it's 10 generations and to teach us how great an Erech HaPayim God is? What is the purpose? I asked before. There was 10 generations. One generation. We couldn't wait the 5 years, 10 years. A generation. What does it mean, 10 generations? What does it mean? What it means to say, what the Torah is telling you is that there is a description for God's Erech HaPayim. I don't mean description, descriptive. I mean, there is some kind of a... in other words, like this. That God's Erech HaPayim is real, and it does have a description in terms of Zman. You understand what I mean? It is to teach us that there is a type of Erech HaPayim that stems from God that exists, and it has a certain Zman. It has a certain law. It's not just chaotic. It has a certain law. It is 10 generations. It has a certain form and a certain tzura. That's what the Torah is teaching us. You understand what I'm saying? It's 10 generations. It happens to be 10 generations. We can't understand the 10 generations. 6 generations, we don't understand this. But the Torah is trying to tell you that there is an accurate, realistic existence of a description of 10 generations, and that's God's Erech HaPayim. Okay, you should know that there is such a thing. It's interesting. Rabbeinu Yonah says. What? No. It's just telling you that there is a description, there is such an existence. That's all. We can't understand God's Erech HaPayim. To understand God's Erech HaPayim, you have to, you can't understand God's essence. But we must know that there is such a thing. Funny, Rabbeinu Yonah says, he says that you should know that God doesn't forever, he doesn't have patience forever. He says Kain Tachshav L'Golusein Al Yedei HaRomian. He says that's how you have to think about our Golus by the Romans. That's where we're considered in Golus Roman. Well, if Al Toma Kama Yomim V'Shanim Ki Heshiv Chamoso Me'al Malchus Romi V'Anachnu B'Golus Hala Olam Yarech Lam Apo Ki Erech HaPayim Hu. Will God forever allow them to keep us, to have us remain in Golus? He says, no. He says, Yadoa Teda, Kilosof Yishalim Lem Tepolam, Atamafi Adin, Yigalena Vyoshian, Kerchapayim Gadalho. Ach Bachros Ayomim Poket Avonos Rishonim, Umaya Yikabmuna Rachamecho Kidalonim Aod. So what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? Rabbeinu Yonah says, that is the concept. This concept of Erech HaPayim is the very concept of Bias HaMashiach. Bias HaMashiach is one of the Yisodei Hadas. Rabbeinu Yonah explains, why is it tied to Bias HaMashiach, Erech HaPayim? It means to say that we don't understand God's Erech HaPayim. It has nothing to do with a person being patient or a person saying, look, I don't care, he did wrong to me, he did me an injustice, I don't care. No, it's a different concept, because we're talking about the creator of the universe. But we know, the Torah tells us, we know that there is a description. There is a description, and there is a Zman, and it is an operation, and it does function, not in any type of human way. But it does exist. And the fact that it does exist is very important for us to know that fact. Even though we can't understand God, we don't understand God, but we know that fact. So that's why he says, it's the direct application of that idea is the concept of Yemos HaMashiach, which means to say that the Jews will be redeemed. The last Golus will come to a conclusion. The last Golus will come to a conclusion. How do we know this? Because we know that God is an Erech HaPayim, but it has a specific description, and just like over there with $10, over here we don't know. It's not easy to tell them to $10. It always applies $10. It means that it's a different. We don't understand how it works, but there is a. It does exist, and that's why our Golus will come to an end. Will come to an end. It has to come to a conclusion. Same exact thing. You see, but you can only perceive this if you understand that God's Erech HaPayim is of a different nature. And then a person. That's why people. That's why I say shavuham machshivei akeif. The people who are machshivei akeif, the people who try to figure out when Mashiach is going to come, are prompted not by a recognition of God's Erech HaPayim, but by their own emotional idea of Erech HaPayim. Okay, they're prompted by trying to fit into the human sphere, human way, when Mashiach is going to come. That's why we say that the tipach ruchom shomachashe akeh. Tipach ruchom shomachashe akeh means a terrible thing. People try to figure out when the Mashiach is going to come. Why is it terrible? Why is it tipach ruchom? Because what they're doing is they're trying to reduce God's Erech HaPayim to a human level. That it should make sense when they think Mashiach is going to come. You see? In their terms. Yes, he's going to come because of this, because of that, and the bonus, this is all nonsense. It's all nonsense. And it's a denial of the concept of God being an Erech HaPayim in a way that we can't understand. Tendoros. What is Tendoros? We can't understand the concept. Okay? But the Torah wrote it to teach us the description of itself. The interesting Rashi, in last week's parsha, beginning of Vayeshev, Rashi says, first Rashi in Vayeshev, because the pasuk starts off very, very strange pasuk. Vayeshev Yaakov, that's a good one. The pasuk, Ela told us Yaakov. So Ela told us Yaakov, so the pasuk should continue. What did it tell us of Yaakov? It should give you all his children. No, it says Yosef ben Shivasre Shano Hoyoroa Esechov Batzon Vunar. That's the end of it. That's the whole story. What happened to the Toldos Yaakov? Where'd they go? You see? So Rashi says an interesting thing. He says, Ach Hashakosav Loch Yeshuve Esa Vetoldoso. First Rashi. He says, after the Torah tells you how Esav established himself. The civilizations of Esau. So the Derech Ketzara, all the Alus and all the things of Evayimloch and the whole history of Esav, you see? So it says, Shelo hoyu sefunim v'chashuvim mefarish heyach nisyashu v'seidem ochamoseyem eichorishu es hachori. So he says, Pirish loch yeshuva yagodos and Derech Arucha. Over there by Esav, so the Torah abbreviates. Just gives it briefly, all the Alus and this, all the... Then it says, but now he says, Kol Gevulah Shibosom. Now he's mefarish to you all the chain of events that was responsible for their establishment. Lefishim chashuv mufnei hamakom, because they're very worthy before God. Laharech b'hem. The Torah is very lengthy with regard to the avos and the shiftei kah. So he says, V'chein atamotzei ba'asorah doros shemei Odom v'ad Noach. That's interesting. Rashi says, you find in 10 generations from Adam to Noach, Ploni hol is Ploni. All right? Because Shebol and Noach, Herich bo. But then suddenly, Noach, you have a whole story about Noach. V'chein ba'asorah doros mishemei Noach v'ad Avram. Kotz Abraham. Torah abbreviated. U'mishyegiye to Avram, Herich bo. When he came to Avram, so then he was very lengthy. Whole story of Avram. So he gives a mushroom. Mushroom Margolius, okay, fine. What is the, he says, Marshall Margolis, person finds a diamond in the sand. So, first of all, the sand takes Margolis, the sand's not important. Fine. But what is Rashi? It's an interesting Rashi. What is Rashi saying here? Rashi, this Rashi is opening up something that, and looking at the Torah in a way that nobody really thinks of. See, everybody thinks of the Torah like this. The Torah is telling the story of Avraham, story of Noah, story of Yosef. But what are all these cloning holiness cloning? What are all those? What's the purpose? It's like a separate thing. The Torah is interested in some history here. You know what I mean? The Torah is interested in some history. Now it's time for history. Okay? It's like two different things. It has no shaykhs. One has no shaykhs to the other. This Rashi explains, gives a whole different perspective, a whole different picture of the Torah. Rashi says, that really, what Rashi's saying is, when you think into Rashi saying, really the whole Torah is, Ploni Holidus Ploni. That's right, the big act. It's really the whole Torah. That's what he's saying. He's saying the whole Torah is really Ploni Holidus Ploni. Okay? So, Vayachi, Vayolad, Vayamos, that's really the whole Torah. But he says, but the Torah is Ma'arich. When it came to, it's a strange Rashi, but the Torah is Marech when it came to the ones that God likes. Like when it came to Noah, now it's been but Marech means it's still in the same framework. You understand what I mean? So it means that the whole story of Noah, the whole story of Avram, is just an extended Ploni Holidus Ploni. That's what he's saying basically. You know what I mean? It gives you a whole different view of the Torah. It's not that the Torah is the story of the Avos, and then the Torah throws in a little history here. No. It's just the opposite. The whole Torah is history. But what it does is it expands when it comes to the area that it wants to teach us ideas about. It's a strange shot in Rashi. What can I mean? The whole Torah is just history and not just a little expansion? I mean, on the contrary. One should say that the essence of the Torah, the story of the Yavos, and we don't understand why you have to have those other things there. What do you have to have Ploni Holidus Ploni for? We don't understand it. The Torah put it in. We're not going to argue the Torah. Yeah. Recognize God's Kochmas, all right? That's fine. But it bothers us. What is the purpose of it? So this Rashi twists everything around exactly the opposite. That the whole Torah really is the history of Ploni Holidus Ploni. When it comes here, it expands. What kind of concept is that? Where's Rashi going? What he's saying is, you see, the purpose, it's tied very much into this mission. Tied very much into that's why it brings in also the Asara Doros and Noah. What it means is like this, that the Basar Mamoros Nizra Olam, the purpose of the Torah is to show you human existence, the value of human existence in terms of the framework of reality. Okay? Now, Ploni Holidus Ploni, all these Doros, what is the purpose of the Doros? It's to show you what extent they partook of reality. To what extent they partook of reality. So that's why it shows you. at the first 10 doros just shows that they partook of reality insofar as God is an Erech HaPayim. Okay? They reflected God's Erech HaPayim. But the whole Torah, the whole Bereshit, Sefer Bereshit, as I said, the whole Sefer Bereshit, which deals with the creation, is to show us what the framework of reality is. So when it comes to Avram Avinu, how much does he occupy of the framework of reality? A very large part. When it comes to Esav, a certain amount, he partakes of a certain amount. What insofar Esav gets Haseir, is the physical, and that's it, and the Torah goes quickly, briefly what he has. That's how much he partakes of reality, of the physical reality. But when it comes to Yosef Atzadik, Eilat Tolus Yaakov Yosef, it shows you the extent of reality that he partakes of. So now you understand what the Ploni, the begats in the Torah, is not simply an extraneous thing, but the begats serve an important purpose. Ploni Holis Ploni. Ploni Holis Ploni is a measure of the value of human existence, depending upon who the Torah is describing. You see? So the 10 Doros, the Ploni Holis Ploni, is simply showing you that they partook of reality in a very small way. The only reality was in terms of God allowed them to exist, the Kiyum Ha'olam. That's the reality that they talk about. Kiyum Ha'olam. Okay? That's all they talk about. Comes to Avram, it's a whole elaboration. What's the elaboration? How much Avram Avinu, what his value is in terms of God's reality? Parashas and Parashas. Okay? And saying that the whole Sefer Bereshit, according to this Chazal, is really a Sefer that shows man, Sefer Bereshit, shows man what his activity, to what extent the human activity partakes of the ultimate reality in terms of Hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Yes. That's what the Rambam means, by the way. Where the Rambam says, well, it starts off with Basara Mamoros Nivra'ola. So why does it go to Asara Doros? So the Rambam says the Asara Doros is a continuation of the Asara Mamoros. That was the question before. Well, why? Just because of Asara? No, it's not because of Asara. But the concept of Basara Mamoros Nivra Ha'olam is to show you how God tells us Basara Mamoros is to show you what reality is. So the Torah continues after the Asara Mamoros. It continues to show you what the import of human existence is in the framework of reality. In the Ploni Holidus Ploni. In the Ploni Holidus. It's all one uniform concept. It starts with the Asara Mamoros, the Sefer Bereshit, and it concludes, the Sefer goes to the end, concludes with Ploni Holidus Ploni. But it's all a continuation of one idea. What's the concept? The concept is, to what extent human existence partakes of the framework of the entire existence of the universe. That's the Sefer Bereshit. That's all Sefer. The Ploni Holidus Ploni is not an idle statement. Not an idle statement, but it's a statement which teaches us an important idea. The idea is the extent of our existence, how our existence is related to the ultimate purpose of existence in general, which is Bria Olam. That's where the Sefer Bereshit. It defines the entire Sefer Bereshit. Okay. Well, yeah, I heard about that. So therefore, the Torah is a genealogy, but it's not a historic genealogy, it's a metaphysical genealogy. Now, it's a direct continuation from the Asara Mamoros, because the Asara Mamoros, as we said last time, it's not about our pain of mind. It's the fact that God told us that it's Asara, shows us the importance of our existence in terms of reality. And in a similar vein, the genealogy, the purpose of the Torah enumerating the genealogy shows us what the importance of our existence is metaphysical. The same concept. It starts from Asara Mamoros and goes through the Ploni Holidus Ploni. The concept of the Erech HaPayim is, it shows you how much they took of existence in the sense that how much God's will is that the creation should continue. How much God's will is in terms of that the world should continue. So you see, it was an Erech HaPayim. It means it shows you how important it is that the human existence of human society. Okay? even though they were wicked, but they served the purpose of maintaining, sustaining human society. That's why it mentions the Esav, because Esav also maintains human society. Also, he conquers and maintains civilization. That has some importance. But he's marich when it comes to the ones who really partake of his importance, essentially. You see? His essential importance, not just the means.